Thank you for tuning in to episode 3 of the Empowered Finance Podcast with your host, Sid Misra, certified financial planner with Beacon Financial Group. Thank you all for tuning in. What I'm looking to do with this podcast is talk about, you know, retirement planning and the things that pre-retirees have issues with, but I also want to be able to talk about, you know, the things that are going on in the world and things that are coming up. The first episode I talked about GameStop and its stock and the short sellers that were getting squeezed out by Reddit and the other investors. Episode 2 talked about, you know, financial stability with your savings rate and all of that. And episode 3, I wanted to focus on blockchain because it's a question that I keep getting asked a lot by clients, friends, you know, people in general that are just like, they don't understand what blockchain is. They know what Bitcoin is. They've heard of it, obviously, with its valuation going up above $50,000 a coin and, you know, all the gains that people have been getting. And so I wanted to talk about the technology behind Bitcoin and why I think it's pretty revolutionary. I think it's going to change a lot of things for us, certainly me within the financial space, but I think for, you know, everybody in general, on a lot of different issues. And so I'll talk a little bit about blockchain and then also tied into the newest thing on the market, the NFTs, non-fungible tokens as well. So if you had questions on that, stay tuned because you'll learn about NFTs as well. So what is blockchain? I mean, that is the technology that Bitcoin is built upon. Blockchain is essentially just a digital ledger, right? A ledger is a place where you would kind of record information and keep adding to it. And I think one of the best examples is, just thinking back to my childhood, you go to a grocery store and your parents are paying for the groceries before, you know, credit cards became so popular. If they wrote a check, right, they wrote it out to the local ShopRite or whatever grocery store they went to, they would record that information in the checkbook. And the checkbook was just a ledger. That ledger was explaining, you know, the date of the check or the purchase, right? Who it was made out to, what the amount was, any other information. And then it also had, you know, the check number that would be recorded so that you could, you know, at the end of the month or whenever you did it, you would do your kind of personal accounting and make and understand, you know, oh, I made these purchases. I paid with these checks and it went to, you know, the grocery store, Macy's, whatever it may be. And so that is a ledger, right? It is just recording information in kind of an easy to follow format. But the problem is it's not secure, right? Someone could steal your wallet or steal your checkbook and, you know, change things, write things. And so what blockchain is, and that is the technology that Bitcoin is built upon, that is the technology that these NFTs are built upon, it's a digital ledger. Just like the checkbook that your parents used, but instead of having it in one location, right, you're with your parents or whoever has the checkbook, it is decentralized, meaning it's spread out among many, many different users so that there's no, you know, one point of entry if someone wanted to steal it or steal information. So that decentralizing of it spreads out the risk, spreads out the ability for someone to try to get in and possibly change it. And so, again, it decentralizes it. It spreads it out among many different people that are using the same blockchain. So for Bitcoin, right, the users of Bitcoin, all that information that's stored, you know, if I had Bitcoin, I don't, but it would be recorded somewhere. And that data is actually spread across all of the Bitcoin users. And so everyone has bits of that data. And the interesting part about blockchain is how it uses, you know, cryptography, these computer programs that do cryptography to essentially pull all the pieces together and then make it whole to make a change. And it can only do that if it has the permission from all the users to kind of pull that information It can only add to the ledger. You can't go back and change it. And so it makes it much safer. You know, you can go in there and see, okay, someone added a line on this ledger and I can see exactly who did it. You know, they had the permission to do that. If someone is not granted permission, if someone doesn't have, let's say, Bitcoin, they can't go in there and change anything because they don't have, they're not part of that decentralized space, right? And so again, it's spreading it out and it's using cryptography to basically keep it secure. And so what's interesting is, you know, we're seeing Bitcoin as kind of this way of using blockchain, right? Oh, decentralized currency. So there's no one space that has the currency. It's spread out across all of the users across the world, and it allows for kind of a free movement of money, whatever that currency is. You can buy things with it. I know Elon Musk will now be accepting Bitcoin for Tesla purchases. You know, governments are not a big fan of that because it makes it much harder for them to track things, you know, for tax purposes, for nefarious purposes, you know, people may be using that money for illicit things that they're doing. And so it makes it much harder to track that. But people like the ability of having, you know, the option of paying with Bitcoin and doing it in a decentralized way. So that's kind of where people see it right now, because that's in the news, it's in your face. But there are a lot of interesting applications for blockchain technology. I look at, you know, my industry, for example. Let's say someone had a blockchain on their phone with all of their financial information. They move to a new city and they want to start working with a financial advisor. Well, you can go into the office or, you know, meet someone digitally, an advisor, and then choose to give them the permission to view your financials. You know, take a look at my 401k and all this stuff. Take a look at the insurance policies I have. It's all on the blockchain because I own, you know, essentially my own data, which is what it's going to allow us to do. And so you can go to a new financial advisor and say, here, I want you to have this permission to see this stuff. Tell me what you think. If you're not happy with them, then you take away the permission and go find somebody else. And the same thing with your medical records, right? You know, you want to go work with a new doctor. You can essentially give them the permission to look at all of your medical data, right? Your blood history, your testing history, the immunizations that you have gotten, the procedures that you had. And so you turn on the permission and a doctor can see that and say, okay, I know kind of your history. I know what's going on here. And we have a better idea of what's going on with you. And so instead of having like your data held at, you know, in my area, Summit Medical Group, someone has that data, you have it yourself and you have the ability to choose who you want it to go to. And so that's really interesting, right? You owning the data, cutting out kind of a middleman, going directly to who you want to work with. One of the other things I was reading about was when you buy a house. I haven't bought a house, but the transfer of title, apparently there's a third party that does that. That, you know, what I don't know what the reason is for. I guess it's just the cottage industry that someone has figured out a way to get paid and has been getting paid to transfer the title or hold the title. But essentially, if you have the blockchain for your house, I don't have to do that. I can just go directly to the new owner and say, here is the ownership. I've seen that, you know, you paid me. I acknowledge the receipt of the funds for the sale of the house. I'm giving you the permission for the house and now it's yours. And now it's yours to do what you want. And so I think it opens up a lot of interesting doors as to how, you know, to use that technology. It's much more secure, it's safer. And so the next kind of iteration, we've seen Bitcoin, but the next kind of iteration is these non-fungible tokens, right? And so NFTs, again, are built on blockchain technology, decentralized tokens that use cryptography to make sure that they're secure and people know that this is, you know, a legitimate token. Right. And so It's really interesting. If you take a look at the NFT market, and NFTs have been around for a while, non-fungible tokens. I believe in 2018, the market for it was around $41 million. And in 2020, that number is over $330 million. I saw, like, from 2011, there was this meme out there, essentially a cat with the body of a Pop-Tart flying through space, leaving a rainbow trail. It's like one of the trippier things that I've seen. But that sold as an NFT for $600,000 in 2021. So I don't know what the valuation is on that, but to me, what it represents is more important. And so let's talk about it, right? NFTs, non-fungible tokens. Well, what does that even mean? And so fungible, we have to know what fungible means. Fungible essentially means it's able to be substituted or interchanged with something else. So if I give you $10, or if you have $10, but you give it to me and I give you two fives, that's fungible, right? The value is the same of the two fives, but it's two fives instead of 110, right? So it's something similar, but the value is the same. It's just in a different form. And so non-fungible essentially means it's unique. It can't be substituted for something similar. And so these non-fungible tokens are unique. They can't be substituted for another token. They're unique to what they are and how they look and how they're kind of registered with the blockchain. And that digital certificate, it's a token, essentially. It's a digital certificate stored on the blockchain. So again, decentralized, so not just one person has access to it and can change things, and then also using cryptography to secure it if any changes are being made and to kind of record that. And so an NFT is essentially kind of a digital asset that's publicly identifiable and authenticated using blockchain technology. A good example would be to think about the Mona Lisa, right? It's one of the most famous paintings in the world. It can't be swapped out for, let's say, a copy of the Mona Lisa that you would find at the gift shop there, right? And so not unless you're Nicolas Cage in National Treasure, because that poster doesn't hold the same value. And so an NFT is going to allow us to see the authenticity of that specific item. And so we can think of an NFT now as this token that goes, let's say, with the Mona Lisa as a digital watermark, right? It is a digital watermark authenticated using a decentralized system like blockchain and secure using the cryptography that is within blockchain. And so you can put that digital watermark with the painting. So if someone were to try to sell you the Mona Lisa, even though we know it's being held at the Louvre, you would know that this is not the real thing because there's not an authentic NFT tied to the Mona Lisa. And so that is one of the really interesting applications that I'm thinking about going forward is, you know, how it's going to be used. Just one, verifying the authenticity of certain assets, right? No fake paintings or, let's say, sports memorabilia, right? You want to get, Derek Jeter signed jersey. Someone kind of scribbled their name there. You don't know how authentic it is or how real it is, but Derek Jeter could have his own NFT that goes with his signature. And so if you buy it from a source and it has that NFT, that non-fungible token, you know, hey, this is a legitimate signature, a legitimate piece of clothing that Derek Jeter signed and that, you know, it's recorded in the blockchain. Another one would be authenticity of documents, right? Legal documents possibly, or any sort of document that could be copied and you want to make sure that it's authentic and it hasn't been changed in any way. You can put an NFT with it. If it doesn't come with the NFT, maybe you can look at it and see, okay, this is not authentic. Maybe it's been changed in a way. Maybe it's been changed in a way that, you know, I wouldn't want it to be changed. And so, you know, it's not the authentic thing that you were looking for. Another one that's interesting is like these deep fake videos that are coming out. So they're essentially using a computer program to have, let's say, a person who's famous talking and it looks like they're talking, but the audio and the video makes it look like they're saying something that they never said, right? So possibly something offensive or wrong or rude, whatever it may be. And if you have an NFT that's tied to the source content, the source video, you know that that video has not been corrupted. But if you see something else that, you know, is, you can say, okay, this is not authentic. I think also what's interesting is for content creators out there, you can look at an NFT as a way to be fairly compensated for your work, right? If you create a piece of content, maybe it's a GIF or something. I don't know. I mean, a GIF is pretty widely shared, but you know, maybe it's a video or something that you've put out there and maybe people are using in their own content as well. You can have an NFT with that, with your own content that says, you know, I give the permission to use this content. And if they're earning money on it, I expect to get paid, you know, whatever percentage. And the NFT will set that, you can set that with the NFT. And so one, it prevents your stuff from being illegally used without your permission. And two, it fairly compensates you for that work, which is interesting. And, you know, you can add or remove permission. So, hey, you know, I'm working with somebody new. I want to give them permission to share my stuff and so that they can be compensated and so can I. Or maybe someone is not doing what they're supposed to. I'll take away the permission from them. So it's an interesting way to protect IP or intellectual property. And I think those are really some of the interesting applications of NFTs and essentially what the blockchain technology is allowing us to do. I think the next 10 years are going to be really interesting to see where in life this kind of pops up. You know, how do we verify things? How do we make sure things are secure? I think it's going to be a bigger part of our life going forward. From a technology wise, I don't know too much about what the cons would be about that. I'm sure there are. There are always unforeseen circumstances. And the more that I read up on this and just learn about it, I'm sure I'll learn more about the consequences of the concerns that people have with it. I think the real concern is right now just trading that stuff. You can trade NFTs, you can trade Bitcoin. And so it's a super volatile asset and you just never know, right? I mean, it could be, it's in a bubble. It could not be in a bubble. It could pop one day. And so you really never know. It's not a safe place to put your money. If you're willing to risk it, you know, that's a place to go to try to, you know, swing for the fences essentially. And so as something that you trade, right, an asset that's traded, I'm not too interested in that. I could care less about Bitcoin or trading NFTs. I'm more concerned with the underlying technology and how it's going to be used. And so I'm really excited again to look forward to the next 10 years, the next 20 years of how this feeds into our daily lives. And I'm excited to learn more about it. If anybody has any comments on this episode in terms of something I said that may be incorrect about NFTs or Bitcoin, or blockchain, let me know. If you have something to add, I would love to hear it so that maybe I can do another episode and we can update everyone on that as well. Again, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 3. And I look forward to sharing some more stuff with you guys moving forward. Thank you.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA SIPC. Content in this material is for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual.